And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I hope you're having a blessed day, a wonderful day. And, you know, this has been a very interesting day for me. In fact, I'll tell you a quick story. I have a problem. I had a little problem with the post office. You know, the post office that they're going to entrust with millions upon millions of, in fact, hundreds of millions of mail-in ballots. Yeah, that post office. I had a little problem with them because they closed up a post office box that I use, and I went by to use it, and it was closed. But I hadn't gotten any notice. I hadn't gotten any warning. And I'm thinking, how could the box be closed? So I had to go. Well, I tried to go yesterday. The line was too long. I mean, it was literally, folks, believe me, it was bad. It was bad. And I said, well, I'm going to go back. I'll get there first thing in the morning before it opens. And I did that this morning. I arrived at the post office. Post office opens 8:30. I'm there at 8 o'clock. I'm sitting in my car working. I say, oh, you know what? I'm going to go inside because, you know, they're always open. I'm going to go inside and get in line now. I got in line. I was the first in line. I'm ready to go. And I get there. Oh, well, the person who handles that business doesn't come in till 10 o'clock. You know? Now, you may be thinking to yourself, wait a minute. Didn't you start out saying you've had you're having a great day? I think I actually said a very interesting day. So, okay, that's an hour and a half from now. You know? Not to mention, you know, it opens at 8:30. Well, call that 8:35, and then you've got to push back things and change things. So call actually waiting on the people who are already in line because they know how long the lines can get. Call that 8:40. So, okay. So now I've got an hour and 20 minutes to wait. So I got to figure out what am I going to do because I'm some distance from the post office, live some distance from it. Now, what am I going to do? Well, I was trying to do a number of things before I finally got to the post office. And I have a staff meeting every morning at 9 o'clock. And I stopped to run another errand. I thought, see, there's something else I can do while I'm waiting. But I'll head back to the post office and be there early, get in line, because I know there'll be a long line. I'll get in line. So maybe about the time I get to the counter, the person who comes in at 10 o'clock will be there and we'll meet right at that moment. So I'm on the phone talking to my staff at 9 o'clock and driving down a sort of a small highway and not paying that much attention. And lo and behold, I see about 100 feet in front of me a police motorcycle, and I'm thinking, is he stopped on the side of the road or is he clocking people? So I thought I caught my speed and slowed down, and then when I passed by him, I saw his blue lights go on, saw him come up behind me, and I heard the sirens, and I thought, he's probably going off to some important event somewhere where he's got to get there right away. But oh, no. He was waving me over. You know, so I pulled over, a police officer walked up, and he says, you know, I clocked you doing 71 at a 55 mile an hour zone. And I said, yeah. I said, you know what, I was on the phone and just got distracted and wasn't paying attention. And he said, okay, license and registration. I gave him my license and registration. He went back and came back, you know, and of course I love these police officers. Let me just say for the record, folks, so that this is captured for time immemorial. I don't believe in this stupid concept of driving. I was stopped for driving while black. No, I was stopped for driving too fast. Okay. I mean, and my car has got fairly well tinted windows. You'd have to really look hard to see who was in the car anyway. And I don't think he had any idea who was sitting in the car. He just knew the car was moving too fast because when he caught me, I was some distance from him anyway. And he was sitting facing away from me. Okay. He was looking at his radar, not looking at my car. But at any rate, so he goes back and does his usual thing, comes back to the car, and hands me a ticket. And I said, okay. I said, well, all right, officer. I said, you know. And but before left, I said, hey, I have these little coins, you know, that we made a while ago to support and encourage police officers. So I took one out. I said, hey, listen, officer. I said, before you go, here's something I want to give you. I said, I just want you to know that there are a lot of us out here pulling for you guys. We're praying for you. We love you guys. We respect you. We honor what you do. You're not by yourself. I know it may seem that way sometime. I said, but I want you to know you're not alone. We're standing with you. And folks, he looked at me and said, give me back that ticket. I'm serious. I didn't even know they could do that. He looked at me and said, give me back that ticket. You know, I said, because, you know, this was my thought. I would never say anything like that right up front because I don't want a police officer to think I'm trying to manipulate them or trying to control them or get them to do something for me or anything like that. I don't like that. I don't even like the feel of that. But I figured once he was going to give me a ticket or he's going to give me a warning. If he gave me a ticket or gave me a warning, either way, I was going to say something encouraging to him. And after I spoke to him, he said, give me back that ticket. I said, really? He said, listen. He said, I rarely meet people like you. He said, and the last thing in the world I'm going to do is give somebody like you who's trying to support us a ticket. I'll take it back. Thank you. And ripped it up. I said, okay. Well, praise the Lord. So, listen, that made my day, you know. That really made my day. I mean, I really have a lot of respect and honor for police officers. And you all have heard me say this. My experience with police officers has apparently not been the experience that a lot of, particularly black people, claim to have had. Even a conservative like Tim Scott, who says, you know, he's been stopped a lot. That's just not been my experience. I can't explain that. I don't know whether they're exaggerating or whether I don't know. My interaction with police officers has always been respectful, and even in some cases like that, you know, just some of the nicest people I've ever met have stopped me on the road, you know, for violating some traffic rule. But I thought you all might be interested in hearing that at a time when our police officers are under just vicious attack. I mean, vicious attack. Not only being vilified and slandered, but being physically attacked, shot, killed, and assaulted. And, you know, I guess it just really felt good for him to hear from a citizen, we are with you. We stand with you. Now, it shouldn't matter, but I'll say it just because I guess in the climate we're living in, I suppose it has some relevance. This police officer happened to be an American of European descent. But it didn't matter to me. I didn't even think it. In fact, to tell you the truth, folks, this is the honest truth. I didn't even think about it until I'm here talking to you. And it suddenly hit me because, of course, the left has tried to make everything racial. And it's you know, the white police are out to kill the black man. And this garbage of systemic racism is just that. It's just a bunch of made up garbage to try to keep people feeling like victims and to try to keep others feeling guilty and feeling like they're doing something wrong, even if they don't know it. And you know, the sad thing is they've got people on both sides buying into this nonsense. Yes, I'm racist and I don't even know it. And I'm a victim and I don't even know it. Well, maybe you don't know it because you're not. Well, folks, I've got a special guest coming up next. You're going to really want to hear a good friend of mine who's doing some very important things to try to help our country. So stand by. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. My commentary yesterday raised the question of whether we would be able to declare a winner in the presidential contest even a week after November 3rd. If the election isn't close, then we won't have to worry about those concerns, but the polls in a number of states suggest that the election is too close to call. Ari Fleischer served as press secretary for President George W. Bush. He says, as a survivor of the 2000 recount, I do not want anyone to go through what happened to George Bush or Al Gore. He believes this election will test our ability to accurately decide a presidential election without controversy surrounding it. It is likely that the 2020 election will break all records for turnout. That, he says, is inspired by both a love and a hate of President Trump. Turnout may exceed 150 million votes, and it is possible that the push for mail-in ballots will drive that number even higher. In the 2016 election, only 33 million absentee ballots were cast, and less than 1% were rejected. That amounts to 318,000 ballots that were rejected. Even apart from potential fraud is the problem of properly counting mail-in ballots. In the New York Democratic primary that I mentioned yesterday, 25% of those absentee ballots were rejected. Ari Fleischer reminds us of the problem of mail-in ballots is compounded by states that have not previously engaged in widespread mail-in voting. Washington State, for example, has a long history of mail-in voting, but it took years to get their process right and was not conducted in the middle of a pandemic. States without such experience should not try this risky experiment of mail-in voting, especially if we believe this election will be close. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Racism, go to viewpoints.info/racism. That's viewpoints.info/racism.
What would it be like if every person knew that they were created in the image of God?
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female. If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to register for a free sneak preview.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is coming soon. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
Brian Fisher here. The reviews are in on the first day of the Democrat convention, and it's not pretty. Peaceful protesters in Portland dragged a guy out of his truck and beat him half to death. How are the wonders of renewable energy working out in California? Where does Wikipedia go to develop profiles on conservatives? And what's up with mailboxes? Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We're back. My producer told me he's never heard a story like that one. And frankly, I've never had anything like that happen to me. But praise God that it did. And pray for our law enforcement officers. They need our prayers and they need our support. Well, look, my next guest has been a friend of mine for, my goodness, it's got to be 20 years, maybe 30 years. He and I have been on the front lines together fighting for this country. He is a preacher par excellence who has preached all over America and actually in other parts of the world as well. And he's got a message that is critical for our time. He's the founder of Recover America. And if you've ever come across or seen Vision America, he is the founder of that as well, handed that off to someone else to provide leadership. And he's gone on to other bigger and greater things. But he's been prolific as an author and a speaker, and has been a great friend of mine, Dr. Rick Scarborough. Rick, welcome to The Awakening. Thanks for joining me, brother.
Well, thank you so much, Bishop. Let me translate what you just said to your audience. I knew him when he was young. I knew him when he had hair. And I knew him when he could still preach. And I'm protecting that art, my friend. Good to talk to you.
Well, look, it is great to have you on. And I know you are always busy doing a number of different things. But you've got a project that you're working on right now, and I want to talk to you about that because I know you are trying to mobilize. You've been doing this for years very successfully, mobilizing pastors to get fully engaged and involved in what is really a spiritual battle for our country. What are you doing right now?
Well, we actually started this process in November of last year. We sat down with some donors because an event like this cost over $250,000 to pull off. And we shared the vision. These donors were open to it because it encompasses 3 days of continuing education for pastors. We always do these at premier venues. This particular one is at the Gaylord Texan Hotel at Grapevine, just adjacent to the DFW airport. But we started planning in November. Well, here comes COVID. All events are off. Even my smaller events had to be canceled and turned to Zoom calls. And we pretty much dismissed this opportunity of training pastors in that kind of fashion for this election cycle. But less than a month ago, two of the major players, donors who are very generous men, said, if we came up with the money, could you still do it? And I never wanted to say no. I called Paul Blair, our mutual friend, and a couple of other leaders, one of the leader of an organization, the Black Robe Regiment, and that being Dan Fisher, which I feel certain you've posted at some point in time.
Absolutely, yes.
The three of us decided to roll up our sleeves and just see if pastors who've been sequestered for months and holed up in their homes and churches would come to such an event. We first started by looking for an incredible lineup of speakers. And you know, EW, you wouldn't say this to your audience, but one of the first ones we solicited was Bishop EW Jackson because of your background. You're a Marine. You have a Harvard education with a Doctor of Jurisprudence. And there's nobody bolder in your faith than you. And couple all of that with the fact that you're a Black American with the emphasis on American. In fact, you've gotten on to me about using hyphenated words when I speak about your Americanism. But it's important that people know that you speak with such passion about the issues others of us can't speak to without being assaulted. And you take even more flag because you get attacked by both sides of the spectrum when you speak out as an African-American. But we secured your services. You're going to speak on Antifa and Black Lives Matter and your specialty, which is how they're trying to cancel our culture. We have Trevor Loudon and a host of other experts. In fact, I believe it's the strongest lineup of speakers that we've ever had for a program like this. And EW, we are sold out. We're now taking people on a waiting list. We started with 100 block of rooms. Our donors upped the ante. We went back and got another 100 block of rooms, and we are completely sold out. To God be all glory.
Praise God. Praise God. Wow. Well, look, that's exciting, and I say this sincerely. I'm honored anytime you're doing something because I know that you attract top leaders, people who are not only good at what they do, but people who are sincere and committed to what they're doing. And, of course, you're lead among them. So I'm just honored to be asked.
Well, we're excited about you coming, I'll tell you. And the pastors are excited. And most of the, I have to say, these kind of events, these boot training type of events where they spend 7 hours of education each day before they're free to go and spend the late afternoon and evening with their family and children, this is primarily something that Paul Blair and Art Alley have conceived of. And they've done a number of these successfully. I've spoken at them, but this is the first time I've been invited to help lead one of them. And I'm here to tell you, if these donors who give so much money that's wasted could just catch a vision of how hungry pastors are to be exposed to training and how willing they are to come, I believe we could change the nation in a matter of a few years with a real Black Robe Regiment.
You know, Rick, I just had Scott Walter on a weekly call that I do, and he was talking about the amount of money that these leftist billionaires
Yes.
George Soros and Steve Phillips and you know, you could just go right down the line are giving to all of these leftist causes, and it is great to know that we've got Christian and conservative men and women who are committed to funding these things. But I'll tell you, we need more of them, don't we?
Yeah, we certainly do. We're way behind the eight ball on that issue. What could you do, Bishop, with the talent God's given you if you really had the funds to do it? Now, I think we would both, and I hope he's listening and he's going to be embarrassed we do this, but Mike Valerio is a great patriot who has invested millions of dollars in conservative causes, has helped both of us accomplish our life goals. And there is a core of these kind of men of wealth, but far too few and far too hard to find.
Well, look, what you're already full. So what can, if their pastor's listening, I guess they could get on the waiting list. What can our audience do to help?
Well, I would say, do that. Get on our waiting list. And here's the reason why. Because these are pastors, there are always causes why some at the last minute cannot go. But beyond that, if you have a heart for this kind of training, Pastor, and networking with other people who think like you think, we'll have more of these events. And we always go to those who showed interest first. About half of these guys were on our email list previous because they've been to other events, many of them smaller and shorter. But that's where we turn for our patriot pastors. And so if they'll simply email me at rs@jonathanproject.org, my assistant will respond to them immediately, and we'll get them the information.
Okay, rs@jonathanproject.org.
Exactly right.
And folks, if you missed that or missed the spelling or anything, you all know how to reach me. Just say, look, I want information about the Jonathan Project, about what Dr. Rick Scarborough was talking about, and we'll make sure that you get the information as well. So we'll be a backup.
And it's spelled like the Jonathan in the Bible, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N.
All right, jonathanproject.org.
Bless you, my friend.
Listen, bless you, man. Keep up the good
bring
work.
Your wife. She needs to fellowship with my wife.
Well, you know what? I think she's planning to come. I think Hallelujah. She's planning to come.
A lot of guys are bringing their wives, so I hope she does.
Well, look, I will extend to her your special invitation. I'm sure that'll make a difference.
All right. God bless you.
All right. God bless you, Doc. All right. Bye-bye now. Folks, you just heard one of the premier preachers in our country, and I mean that. And I get to hear a lot of people speak. But Dr. Rick Scarborough he is among the most powerful speakers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, some of you all may not know this, but you know, he was thrust into this when his daughter came to him about a sex education project going on at her school and told him what was going on. And it had to be 30 years ago. He could not believe it. He just didn't believe it. He just thought she was exaggerating. She was mistaken. And what he did was he decided, well, you know what? I'm going to go sit in the auditorium, and I'm going to go listen for myself. And we'll get to the bottom of this. I'll be able to straighten her out. Well, he went there and sat and listened and could not believe what he was hearing. I mean, he sat there with his mouth dropped open like, this cannot possibly be happening. And he challenged the teacher in the class, but then went back and told his church what he had witnessed. And when he told his church what he had witnessed, people turned out for the next school board meeting in droves, and a movement began that removed every school board member who had been responsible for that stuff and replaced those people with Christians who were bringing a biblical worldview. So that's how Dr. Rick Scarborough got started. I think his first book was called Enough. So this is a man who has been on the front lines for a long time. So if you're a pastor out there, you want to go to this, email him at rs@jonathanproject.org or me at ewj@standamerica.us. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
I saw God today. Where did I see Him, you ask? Well, I saw Him in the face of a small child whose smile and laughter reminded me of the happiness and joy that comes from trusting a God who loves us. I saw God today. Where did I see Him, you ask? I saw Him in the golden leaves of autumn, which fall each year and blossom each spring. I heard Him in the rustling of the grass and in the song of a robin redbreast. I saw God today. Where did I see Him, you ask? I saw Him in the person of a teacher who loved his students. I saw Him struggling to teach so that the student could have a better life. I saw Him toil on in his labors, underpaid and often unappreciated. I saw God today. Where did I see Him, you ask? I saw Him in the compassion of a doctor who was working with God to heal a patient. I saw Him with His skills and knowledge as He helped relieve some of the suffering of a broken humanity. I saw God today. Where did I see Him, you ask? I saw Him in the love of a father who was sweaty and tired from a hard day's work. I saw Him work so that his family could have a house where they could make a home. I saw Him work so that his children could get a good education. I saw Him work so that the woman he loved could have a few of life's luxuries. I saw God today. Where did I see Him, you ask? I saw Him in the person of a minister who wept with a family at the loss of a loved one, who joyed with a young couple at the birth of their first child, and who prayed for love which he could pass on to those with whom he came into contact. I saw God today. Where did I see Him, you ask? I saw Him in a public official who was elected to office by the people. I saw Him as he tried to do his best in a society which often accepts and fosters crookedness. I saw Him as he struggled to make a decision, knowing that whatever decision he made would help some and hurt others, would be praised by some and condemned by others. I saw God today. Where did I see Him, you ask? I saw Him in an ex-convict who was trying to make a new start in life. I saw Him as his past life followed him everywhere he went. I saw Him as he tried to start over, and no one was interested in giving him the chance. I saw God today. Where did I see Him, you ask? I saw Him in a person, any person, every person, who reached out his hand to help another. I saw Him as people overcame the difference of race and creed, education, status, in order that they could help another. I saw God today. Where did I see Him, you ask? I saw Him in the symbol of a cross. It reminded me of His great love for us. He loved us so much that He sent His only Son into our world to save us. His Son died for us even when we weren't worth dying for. I saw Him on the cross, and I heard His prayer of forgiveness for those who put Him there. So you see, I saw God today. You say you've never seen Him? You can, my friend, if only you will look for Him.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I have been trying to come up with some sort of appropriate nickname for the Democrat National Convention, and I have not come up with anything that I think is worthy of sharing with you. Maybe you all can think of something, but I'll tell you, what I've read about that mess last night, you know, I've gotten to a point where I can't, it's very, very difficult for me to listen to these people. I mean, it really is. I can read it, it's easier, but listening to them pontificate and lie and point the finger at others for doing the very thing that they're doing is just, it's just really more than, frankly, I can bear. I don't put myself through it. But I have been reading about Michelle Obama's speech last night. Well, first of all, I didn't read anything about John Kasich's speech. And let me tell you why. I haven't listened to John Kasich in 30 years. No, 30 years. Well, as you all know, John Kasich used to be chairman of House Ways and Means. And, you know, he was a young gun, you know, just, you know, Mr. Big Shot at a fairly early age. Well, I had the opportunity to meet John Kasich at a Republican dinner in Massachusetts, in Boston. And I was doing the invocation or something like that. And you know, all the people who speak get the chance to meet and spend a little time in the green room, talk to each other. Well, I'll tell you something, folks. I spent a short time with John Kasich at that dinner, and I walked away thinking to myself, and I'm not exaggerating at all. And look, you all listen to me on the radio, and my wife would probably say, you know, what you hear is what you get. I'm not a difficult person to get along with. I like people, generally speaking, and I enjoy, you know, being friendly with people. And I walked away from John Kasich based on an encounter with him that probably being around him while I talked to others and talking to him myself probably didn't last longer than 15 minutes. And I walked away with the impression that this was one of the biggest jerks I'd ever met. Now, I'm just being honest. That was my impression. He was arrogant. It was as if before he even deigned to talk to you, he had to determine first, are you someone important or not? It was weird. It was really weird. And I just thought to myself, oh my goodness, this guy is successful in politics. I mean, he is really got an attitude of arrogance. He just reeks with it. You know what? He hasn't changed a bit. I had heard that John Kasich had gotten saved, and I thought, well, that's great. You know, that'll certainly lead to a change in attitude. But from everything I know of the people who know him and have been around him, he has not changed one bit. That's what I am told. And this appearance at the Democrat National Convention as a Republican and endorsing Joe Biden, to me, it confirms every negative thought I've ever had about him. You say, why? Just because he's not supporting President Trump, he's supporting Joe Biden. Well, when he stands up and makes the argument that the country's going to be better off with Joe Biden, either he's really, really stupid, or he's just lying through his teeth because he just doesn't like President Trump personally and he wants to hurt him, and he doesn't care if the country's hurt in the process. If he doesn't see that the Democrat Party has gone full-blown Marxist, if he doesn't see that, and he is a Christian, doesn't see that, what was it, 2012, I think, that they, in their convention, they voted God off the platform. They didn't want God mentioned in the platform. I think their Florida meeting that they held last year, they said that our kind of people are secularists, that the secularists are the people who represent our values. And you could just go on and on and on with that. I mean, the rabid pro-abortion position, the rabid racial division that they stoke, the promotion of all of this sexual perversion, and really promoting it right into our public schools with our youngest children. That's today's Democrat Party. And he really believes that is going to leave us better off than a president who helped create the most bountiful economy perhaps in the history of the country before COVID hit. I mean, with the lowest unemployment, some of the lowest unemployment rates we've ever experienced, the lowest unemployment rates among Black and Hispanics, and the lowest, I think, among women for the last, I don't know, 30, 40 years or something like that. But I mean, just staggeringly successful economy. And he really thinks after 1% growth under Barack Obama that putting Joe Biden in the White House is somehow going to be better for the American people? You've got to either be stupid or you're just lying. And I can't believe that Kasich is that stupid. I think, however, he is that arrogant. I think he doesn't like President Trump personally. And I think if the American people have to be hurt in order to get back at President Trump, well, so be it. I don't think it's going to make any difference what he has to say, because I think most people probably know what I experienced with him, who've had any interaction with him. I think I don't remember exactly what, but I heard that his approval rating in Ohio is like in single digits. I mean, very, very low. You got to work hard to get people to dislike you that way. I mean, you really do have to work hard at it. So he was there standing at the crossroads talking about America at the crossroads. And you want us to take that road, right? You want us to take the Biden road. Whoa, my goodness gracious. Wow. And folks, here again, it's not about the personality. It's not even about the party. It's about the principles. Do I want someone who is going to uphold my First Amendment rights, or do I want someone who's going to trample them? Do I want someone who is going to uphold the general principle of liberty, or do I want someone who doesn't think it's important? Do I want someone who is going to protect and defend my Second Amendment right to self-defense and to bear arms, or do I want someone who wants to confiscate my firearms? Do I want someone who thinks that Israel is an oppressor and needs to be brought to heel, or do I want someone that believes that Israel is a blessed nation and our country is blessed by supporting them in every way we can? Do I want someone who believes that men and women are fundamentally different, designed and created by God to be fundamentally different, to complement each other? Do I want someone who believes, oh, that's just a social construct and we got to get beyond that? And, you know, as one article I was reading, did I share this with you all? Maybe I was just reading it and thinking about it, but it said basically, we need non-binary solutions. No, you know what? I mentioned it in my sermon. We need non-binary solutions. In other words, we need to get away from the old idea of, well, there are men and there are women. There's just us, you know, and there's really no difference between the two. And men are women are men, and some people are nothing. They just they kind of hover somewhere in between. And do I want somebody leading the country who thinks that way, or a party that adheres to that kind of philosophy and ideology? Do I want someone leading this country who, quote unquote, by mistake or unknowingly, quotes Fidel Castro, Mao Zedong? Is that what I want? No. So really, from my perspective, the labels are just, they just happen to be labels that are placed on these two competing philosophies, but it is the philosophy that matters to me, not ultimately the party or ultimately the personality. Back in a moment to take your calls.
I am editor-in-chief of OneNewsNow.com,
Jody Brown.
We want to get news to folks who are tired of getting news that's written from an anti-God viewpoint. What people are going to see is news that is written from a biblical perspective by people who love the Lord. We would invite folks to give us a try. We know there's a lot of news sources out there. There are a lot of news websites. Come visit us at onenewsnow.com.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, our country is in trouble, and people are scared, people are afraid, and we see the violence and the injustices that are taking place. Only God can change this. This is a problem of the human heart.
If you'd like to pray with someone, call us any time of the day or night at 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683.
Call that number right now. We've got someone who will pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. God bless.
Well, these are certainly tough, tough times, aren't they? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, I'm grateful that God has given Bible League a platform for more than 8 decades to address the other pandemic, and that's the shortage of Bibles all over the world in places like Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. In fact, at Bible League, we determine that as few as 1 Christian in 10 has a Bible. What's that mean? That during this pandemic, many evangelical Christians elsewhere in the world cannot open their Bible and be reminded of God's promises, like 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. But you know, during this time of sheltering in place, we can shelter in grace. Learn how you can be a blessing to believers around the world praying for a Bible by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
When our kids fail and are at their worst is when they need most of our the highest level of love from us.
Danny Huerta on Focus on the Family Minute.
Really, when we look at Christ's love, the depth of that, He died for our sins and wasn't expecting perfection from us. He was expecting relationship. That's the same for us with our kids. This isn't a formula to help you be the most amazing parent in front of everyone's eyes. This is a formula to form relationship with your kids, even in their dark spaces, their dark moments. Adapting to the things that weren't supposed to happen, developing respect so there's connection, developing intentionality so you have those goal-directed moments where you know where you're kind of headed, and then steadfast love. That's mercy from a Heavenly Father. That's what it means in Scripture.
Focus on that relationship with your child. More from Danny at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, I want to take your calls in this last segment. It's been a short show, it seems. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I want to share one comment from Michelle Obama's speech, because this, for me, is the one that truly takes the cake. And then we can talk about any subject. I haven't raised a whole lot of subjects today. Talked about some general things with a guest and talked about some general things, had a guest on. So you all feel free to bring up any topic you like. But here's what Michelle Obama said in part of her speech. I guess this was probably toward the end. Going high means taking the harder path. It means scraping and clawing our way to that mountaintop. Going high means standing fierce against hatred while remembering that we are one nation under God. What? What? This is the woman who belonged to the church where the preacher said, GD America? To cheers? And now we're supposed to accept remembering that we are one nation under God. I mean, this is what I mean when I say I can't abide that. Because I don't believe she means that a bit more than there's a man in the moon made of cheese. Okay, those are just words that sound good. One nation under God. I mean, there's nothing about their administration, nothing about those two as a couple that suggests they have any interest whatsoever in America being a nation that loves and serves God. Give me a break. Okay, the number is 888-589-8840. Just had to get that one in because that one kind of irked me. Let's go to your calls. Let's see. We've got Sherry from North Carolina. Sherry, welcome.
Hi, A.W. Jackson. I've been listening to you and thoroughly enjoying your show.
Well,
got a
comment you.
About the Postal Service. Sir, it's amazing. They may be overworked. I do not know. But here's what I do know. They can get every piece of junk mail into your mailbox, but you can't bet they lose your bills. I order packages. If you allow them to deliver them, they go just anywhere. half of the time forget it. So I no longer deal with them. If I can avoid it, you cannot always do it. And, sir, as for the Democratic Party, how about this name? The Commie Demon Rat Party.
Wait a minute. The Commie Demon Rat Party?
Yes, what's that?
Okay. Okay. Of course, I was looking for DNC, but that's CDR, huh?
Yeah, I couldn't come up with anything better, but I thought Commie Demon Rat.
You like that? You like that name, whether it matches those letters or not. So, Sherry, thank you.
Thank you very much for the call, Sherry. M2AT, sir.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much. God bless you.
You're welcome, sir.
All right. Look, I could tell you another story about the post office. I won't get into that, though. Maybe for another time, because I want to keep taking your calls. But they do seem to be having some problems. Don't think we want to turn the election over to the post office. Okay, let's go to James in Mississippi. James, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great, James. How are you? What's on your mind?
Fine. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know if y'all discussed it in your program or not. I'm kind of late turning into it today, but the program on AFR Today's Issues played a recording where this Democrat congressman stood up and led the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And when he said the pledge, he left out the words "under God." It was obviously intentional, and I'm offended by it. And I think all Christians, well, not necessarily Christians, but anyone, should be offended by that, and they should contact their representative and ask that when they recite the pledge, the United States flag, they recite it correctly.
Well, James, it does not surprise me. When Barack Obama was overseas, I forget where he was at the time, he quoted the Declaration of Independence, and he left out our Creator. He said, "We're endowed with inalienable rights," but he did not mention "by our Creator," or that we are created equal. So it doesn't surprise me a bit, James. I don't doubt it, although I didn't hear that, but I don't doubt it because I think it's consistent with everything that they stand for, and God is not one of the things that they stand for. So thank you for the call, James. We appreciate it. And by the way, I am offended by that, too. This not kneeling for the flag and refusing to stand up for the national anthem and respect the flag and not wanting to say the Pledge of Allegiance the way it's written and all of that. All of that stuff is just an expression of hatred for the country. And I find it deeply offensive. And I think every American should. I mean, my goodness, there's got to be some unifying principles here and some unifying symbols and ideals. But the left won't even, they don't even want to have that. We disagree so profoundly on so much else. You'd think that if they really cared about the country, they'd say, but let's keep those symbols that help unify us and help remind us that we're all one people, we're all one citizenry. No, they don't want that because that's not what they want anyway. Let's go to David in Ohio. David, welcome.
Well, hi there. Thank you very much again for taking my call. And I just want to let you know I do enjoy your show. Anytime I can catch them, I'm a truck driver, so I try to.
Yes, I remember you, David. Yes, yes. Hope you're staying safe out there on the road.
Yes, we are trying. I have a family, so I have to. And I am an adopted American citizen. I was adopted in 2009, and unfortunately, it was too late for me to vote on the 2008 election. But my wife and I were pretty Democratic leaning, but it came to an end in 2012 when we started to realize the lies that come out of the left side, and especially on that show that previous caller mentioned that question as to how Christians had to vote, and not just in this election, but I think in every election. I'm also a recent Christian. I used to be a Mormon. So I started paying more attention and studying the Bible. And I guess it is very simple. If we do feel like we are compromising our Christian values by voting for one person or another, why don't we just simply go back to the Bible and compare the principles and policies Amen. That each person is presenting? And then very easily we can weed out what does not match and align with the Bible, and then we can make a decision where our conscience is clear, and we know Amen. That we didn't vote for a person, we voted for what God wants us to vote for, yes. no matter who that person is.
David, thank you for the call. You are absolutely right. I could not state it better. We need to go back to the Bible and establish what the principles are that we should be supporting and look at not only at the person, but look at the platform of the party that the person represents. This is why I have a problem at this point with one particular party, because their platform is so antithetical to now to everything that the Word of God teaches. I don't know how you can associate yourself with it. I just don't understand how any Christian can. But thank you for the call, Dave. Appreciate that. Let's go to Janet in Texas. Janet, welcome.
Yes. You know what you were bringing up about Michelle Obama? I was real busy yesterday afternoon. I just happened to tune into my radio as I was going into a nearby town. And I thought, huh, this is it sounds like Michelle Obama. And she did mention, she said, and we are one nation under God. And I thought, yes, we are. But guess what? You're at the Democratic Convention, and they voted to take God out of their yep. platform in 2012. Yeah. And you're saying that, but then your whole people that you're there representing are for leaning towards socialism, communism, more so taking God out of everything of America and taking everything of our foundation out. So I'm just going, yeah. excuse me? Oh, yes, we are one nation under God. You said it right. But your platform yeah. in the Democratic, that party does not acknowledge God.
Well, Janet, listen, I want to try to get another call in before the end of the program, but well stated, Janet, and you are absolutely right. But it won't be the first time. It wouldn't be the first time that some politician invokes the name of God simply because they think it'll get them some points with people, even though what they mean is entirely different than what a Christian would understand those words to mean. So thank you for the call, Janet. Let's go to Lee in Alabama. Lee, welcome.
Hey, God bless you. We really appreciate what you're doing, what you have done. My question for you is that is the rallying message that you gave right at the beginning of the gentleman you introduced us to?
Yes.
It sounded like a military 22 years for me. It sounded like reveille. It's time to get up, church.
Amen.
Pastors. It's time to lead wow. with passion, with love for God, love for country, and love for the sheep.
Wow. Lee? Yeah, man, you struck a chord with that. You really did. You said it sounded like reveille. That just went all through me, because that's exactly what I believe we're facing. We are at reveille. It is time to get up. It is time to wake up. It is time to step up, stand up, and speak up. So Lee, thank you so much for the call. Well, folks, it looks like that's going to do it for us, and. Here we go. Wow, I wish I could get some more in because you all are still waiting, but thank you so much. Call tomorrow, okay, if you have a chance, or as soon as you can again, call again, and I would love to get you on the air. Thank you all so much for your prayers. Thank you for your support and your encouragement of me. Believe me, it does not fall on deaf ears. I appreciate it very, very much. God bless each and every one of you. Encourage a police officer out there sometime when you see one, okay? And in the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.